You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got our buddy Jabari Greer later in the hour. And we got a ball game tonight. Jacksonville minus 3 at home against the Miami Dolphins.
Who you got?
I don't know. I was just talking about that.
My decision.
Is it your pick tonight? All right.
Yeah, well, I got Thursday and Monday and the sandwich game on Sunday.
Okay.
And you have the two other picks.
All right. Well, we'll get to that pick later. We may hear from Stone Cold Al's brother at some point, too.
And it's a garbage game. Like, I would rather, I just wish my turn didn't come up on this game.
I have
like,
no feel for this game tonight.
No.
How
or
do you have a
care.
Feel for Jags-Dolphins? Yeah, it's, like, impossible to get a read on this game. So I'm actually ecstatic you're picking. So we'll get to that later. Jabari Greer coming up. We got some role play level of concern. We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
And we got to remember the rules. I know we had a little bit of confusion last time.
That was my fault because I started throwing percentages out there because I thought it was Jerry's for some reason.
Right.
It was my fault. I'll accept full responsibility, but I'll be focused this time around.
All right. You're good. Okay. So we all know how this works. We're going to go around the table. Each one of us will be allotted a person or a thing or a scenario, and we have to place a level of concern based on how that individual or thing might be feeling, right? So you got Nick Nurse, if there's a lot of concern, maybe a six-pack or 12-pack if you're somewhere in the middle, and a pint on the patio if you're just totally relaxed and there's no concern whatsoever. All right, you guys ready for the intro?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can never, ever ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
Yes. I do.
All right, here we go. All right, we're going around the table. Oh, we'll start with you. Okay,
yes.
You are Steven Stamkos. Level of concern, you will not play a full season again in your career.
Play that music again, please.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
That's Nick Cage. It's full. And I don't think he needs to. All he wants to try to do, he's got to go into Kawhi mode. I would fully, completely put him on a load management program and sit down with him before the season, map out what's best for him, bring in my boy Gary Roberts if that's necessary, and say, like, what is of value to you? Do you want to try to rip home 25 or 30? Do you want to win the Rocket Richard, or do you want to be healthy and try to play and play meaningful playoff games with a quality team and try to win a couple cups before your career's over? But as far as playing 82, it's never going to happen. So automatically, it's Nick Cage because I think he's got to go on a full Kawhi program that does not entail a full season of play.
I think that's a good point. I think if I were to pick one guy in the league, it might be Stamkos because I think his team is that good.
That's right.
Like, they're going to win a cup without him.
No one else can afford to do that in the league, basically.
Yeah, like McDavid can't do it. You know, like Matthews can't do it. Guys like on teams that aren't of that level, they can't do it right now. Not even McKinnon can do it. Like, Colorado's good, but without McKinnon, you're like, whew. You know, like you're fighting.
That team just beat out Boston, Columbus, and who was and the Islanders without Steven Stamkos.
Right.
Right.
So they can surely get to the playoffs without him.
Yeah, he's got load management written all over him. So it's not even that he'll be injured. It's just you should play 65 games.
That's why it's Nick Cage. Nick Cage, not like Nick Nurse that was introduced in before the segment.
Right. Okay, I like it. Noodles, you are Craig Anderson, longtime attendee in Ottawa. Level of concern, you've played your last game in the National Hockey League.
Nick Cage, fire it up, please.
You
not Nick Cage.
Never.
Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage.
Never.
We're good.
Ask me to stop drinking.
And the reason being, he's 39. You know, he hasn't played in a long time already. You're going to pick it back up in January. Like, I think there's the market is too saturated. If it
doesn't
was
somebody see Hudobin and say, just be that for us, like just be a solid backup, that wouldn't he want that, or can he do that?
I just think there's too many. I've got a list here. I'm looking at guys that are available. Like, you know, Brian Elliott's out there.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that.
Better option.
Crawford's available. Like, you know, options that are equal at that time in this stage of his career. Like, he's, you know, he's 39. Like, that's the – I don't see too many 39-year-olds that are are still kicking around.
Is he like, the definitive goalie in Ottawa Senator history?
Lalime.
Lalime would be – I think Lalime might – because I think Craig Anderson put 10 years in.
Yeah, he
did. And I think Lalime might have been, I guess, around that wheelhouse.
He doesn't might have been seven or eight, but prominent years.
As a Leaf fan, who do you think of more when
you think
of a net?
Lalime.
I think it's Patty Lalime because that's when the Sens were, like, really, really good, correct?
Yes. Yeah, early 2000s, so. It's Patrick Lalime. And he always kind of fell apart, quite frankly, in the biggest moments. But, you know, Anderson would be right there. Hasek was there for a short time, and I guess you have to include
him.
Ray Emery's the other guy. Those would be the four for me. And I don't know, you know, I'm not going to answer for people in Ottawa or Senator fans. I'm sure they revere Anderson, but...
Oh, they should, yeah.
You know, he had a great run. Great run.
Yeah, I just think the age is a big factor in that.
Absolutely. 39, he's never going to be able – I don't know if he can give you more than 25 starts anyway. You know, I don't even know if he could be a tandem guy based on his age and injury issues and all that. I am Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Level of concern that Drew Brees has lost a step or two. Okay, if I were Brian Hayes, I would be Nick Cagingham right now. But as Sean Payton, I will say I am a six-pack. Maybe a six-pack and a tall boy or two, all right? Because I've been into the trenches with this guy for a long time. We've won a Super Bowl together. He is an all-time great Hall of Fame quarterback. The two of us, I need to believe in him. Like, I can't – I know people are suggesting maybe Jameis Winston will go in there. Have you lost your mind? Do you think I'm putting Jameis Winston in ahead of Drew Brees? I don't care if Drew Brees is out there with, like, knee braces on in a full body cast. He is playing over Jameis Winston. I have to believe it. So there's a part of me that maybe wants to go Cage, but I'm not going to allow myself to get there because I have to believe that
it's
Drew Brees.
Got your attention, though.
Got my attention. Listen, I'm not a pine on the patio. If I'm Sean Payton, I cannot be a pine on the patio. Drew Brees has not looked great through 2 weeks. Carrying on with that theme. Oh, you are Rob Gronkowski. Level of concern that you have not produced anything through 2 weeks of the season.
I'm a 12-pack with a few shots of Jameson, if you know what I mean. It's like you want to get into it, but you want to kind
That's
of take
not
it.
Getting into it. A 12-pack and three shots. It's just an easy night on the couch.
Just, you know, take it easy.
That makes you aware of the damage I used to do. I think a 12-pack and three shots of Jameson is winding down nicely, and you're just kind of easing into a situation you're like, this is not good. But the guy's a freak of nature, but he's got to respond. And there's been people out there saying, he's just not on the same page as Tom Brady. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, man? These guys have played together forever. How is Gronk not on the same page? That's basically somebody covering up for him and not just giving him the business as far as reporting on his play.
Arians has called him out a couple times, though, already. Like, Arians is just, he's using up all his bullets in 2 weeks.
I know.
But
he's not shy.
I
think the 12-pack and three shot, that's strutty on a night taking a peek, just getting a lather on.
See, that's not a full commitment to getting into one. That is easing into it and saying the shots are just to kind of take the edge off at the end.
Make that's not a, not a marathon tomorrow, but a 5K. You can run
makes
a 5K
Makes you
tomorrow.
Sleep comfortably.
Okay. Noodles, you are Rick Bonus, the head coach of the Dallas Stars. What is your level of concern that you may have to go to Ben Bishop or Jake Ottinger over one of these back-to-back games Friday, Saturday night?
I'm a 12-pack. I'm not Nick Cage because I think that's all the options you have. Like, you could say Nick Cage, like, I'm concerned about it, but ultimately that's what's got you here. Like, it's Hudobin or bust. So, you know, the fact that it's back-to-back and the fact that it's you only have one goalie that's available to you. Ottinger's not the guy that is going to get – you're not starting him in a Stanley Cup final game.
Like, when you're down, too, right? But what if you win on Friday and it's 2-2?
No, because then you're like – you go to Hudobin and say, give me that same performance tomorrow.
Right.
Like, I think it's Hudobin or bust in Dallas, and Bonus is fine with that. It's what did I say, a 12-pack? It's just a 12-pack because it's drinking that to the reality, to drink
right.
it for
it's
reality.
Not perfect. Like, you don't right. want to perfect. Be playing Hudobin back-to-back, but you don't have any other option. Right.
Correct.
And that ultimately likely will be the plan. And you got to believe Vasilevsky's going both games, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like,
He's played every minute in the playoffs here, and he's been fantastic. Like, people forget how good he is because we're all focused on Hedman and Point and, you know, what Stamkos is doing and all that. You forget that's a Vezina-winning goalie in the net, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's how good they are. Yeah. I am Tanner Roark.
Ooh.
Level of concern. You
don't even have to say it. Just play it.
Just play it. Yeah, you're right. Just play it. Play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
That's enough said.
Oh, you are Paul George. I'm not even going to follow through. It doesn't matter what the question is.
Yeah, just say the name Tanner Roark and then play the song. Tanner Roark.
It really has.
Yeah, it's exactly it. That's it. That's all it has to be. I am Tanner Roark, so just play the music. Play the sound. It's Nick Cage. It's completely irrelevant what the actual question was or the situation. You are Paul George. Level of concern, your reign in L.A. as a Clipper will be a colossal disaster.
I'm a pint on the patio. I mean, I know it wasn't good for him, and I know I think it was 5 first-round picks they gave up for Paul George, was it not?
Yeah.
And pieces.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander being one of them.
So that was a massive price to pay for him, but I think he's too good of a player. Not every transition for every player, regardless of the league, is a smooth one. You got to think he's just, and who knows what's going on with him away from the court. I think he bounces back and he helps get it done for the clip show next year.
Okay.
I really do.
I think that's a reasonable take. I mean, he's still, and he doesn't have to be the man. Kawhi's the man.
Yeah. What he's got to stop doing is battling with the public, social media, and just saying, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. You're not endearing anybody to you, especially when you were the guy that Kawhi asked for to go and get, and then you're starting to bitch and complain with the fans. Cut that off, and it's a pint on the patio.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Noodles, you are any mid-level NHL free agent. Level of concern, your options will be limited this offseason.
Play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
And what I mean by that is what you're hoping to get financially.
Right.
That's what it is, because they'll get a job, but there's only a certain amount of money going around, and if a team that has an internal, I guess, what do you call it, internal cap, instead of coming, they're not going to spend to 81.5.
Yeah, budget, yep.
Say they go, you know, we're only going to spend $75 million. There may just be an offer out there that goes, this is what we have for you. Take it or leave it, and if you leave it, you're not going to get a job with us.
Well, Pooley brought up, you know, the other side of that is term. You know, like, if you have very limited leverage and you're still out there 5, 7, 10, 15 days into it, and a team calls you up and you go, I think I should have 5 or 6 years. And they say, actually, it's a 2-year deal. What are you going to do?
Nothing. Like, you're taking it.
Exactly. Like, the teams are going to get pretty good players at a pretty good price at a pretty good term. Like, I'm with you. I think you should be Nick Cage. If you're in the middle and in conventional years, you'd get your 5-year deal at 4, 4.5 or something. I don't see it happening.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen. I am Bianca Andreescu. Level of concern, you've lost the spark of winning a U.S. Open, or the spark that came with it. I'm going to say I'm a 6-pack with a couple shots.
That's right. You know to add. It's not a full 12, but it's to take the edge off after the sixer.
Yeah, because I am abundantly clear of my talents. And I am abundantly clear of what I've already accomplished. No other Canadians won a U.S. Open. I want it the Rogers Cup. I want it Indian Wells. I'm, what am I, 20 years old, 21 years old? It doesn't even matter. I don't need to know how old I am. Right. I know what I'm capable of doing. Am I a little bit concerned that people are going to forget about me? I guess. I mean, it'll be a year, year and a half. Tennis is not one of the big four sports that gets a ton of love. And are the injuries a little bit concerning? Yes. That's why I'm not a pine on the patio. Injuries are concerning. Year, year and a half off. Buzz won't likely be there. But give me some time to get back in the act. Give me a chance to go out there and lay a beating on people, which I will when I get back on the court. And guess what's going to happen? Every Canadian's going to come right back to the well. And everyone's going to love Bianca Andreescu again. So not quite Nick Nurse or Nick Cage. Not quite pine on the patio. Somewhere right in the middle.
That's fair.
Okay. Oh, you are Bryson DeChambeau's caddy. Level of concern, you'll be fired on the course someday.
Play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
And what's going to happen with him is Bryson DeChambeau is going to ask the caddy to rip a fart to see how strong the wind is and get a gauge. And get a gauge.
I wouldn't even be surprised.
He's going to look at him on live television in a major and say, Tim, please fart. And he's going to say, excuse me? And he's going to say, I want you to fart because I want to know the consistency of the air, the way it comes out of your arse. And that's what club I'm going to hit, depending on how loud and how smelly your fart is.
He's right behind him.
That's something that's going to happen. He's like, please fart. Yeah. At the Masters on 16. Please go up in front of the pond. Please go up in front of the pond on 16 and fart towards the tee. Because I want to know how thick the air is when you do that. And Tim's going to look at him and say, take that five iron and I am going to wrap it around your neck.
So that would be different. He wouldn't be fired, I guess.
But it's going to happen. He's just going to, like, every shot, it's give me the numbers. Tell me how wet the grass is. What's the distance up that slope?
Man, go for a run, dude. Go for a run. Like, why are you standing beside me? I saw it multiple times.
Yes.
Mr. Burns
and
Smithers. Yeah. Why are you standing here? Get up there and go tell me what's up. And when I get up there, you'll be the center, I'll be the quarterback, and you let me know how the wind is flowing.
I know, but I can't wait. Like, in the Masters, really quiet, the camera's right on him, just, Tim, please fart. And Timmy just looks at him and just drills him right in the nuts. Rips off his white jumpsuit and says, I am done with you.
Yeah, that's a good prop.
I like how you said fart in the direction of the pin.
Yes.
Right. Well, you got
to
know that.
Just to get a gauge on the thickness of the air.
It's actually not a bad strategy. If he starts doing it, other guys will try it. Noodles, you are Andy Reid's face shield. Oh. Level of concern, you'll last through the whole season in one piece.
I think you got to play it.
I think so, too.
Can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Because you know he's a poised coach, but you know at some point
he's got a mood swing.
He's going to grab that thing and whip it, or he's going to smash it or step on it, or he'll be trying to – tell Mahomes or somebody a play, and it'll get in his way, and he's going to rip it off and just throw it and then yell the play. Like, I think at some point he's going to snap because it'll get in the way. Maybe he goes to throw some gum in, and he forgets that it's there, and it bangs into it, or it's going to have ketchup on it because he's eating a burger at halftime. Like, something's going to happen. He's going to snap with it and launch it.
Yes, there's no way it's getting through. He might, who knows? He's going to headbutt some player with it and think that it's going to survive. Or he's likely going to snap because he's usually pretty poised. But he gets rattled at the right moments, right? He got rattled last week when, remember, there was a call at the Butker field goal, and he was yelling and screaming and freaking. And I think that thing is going to get just shattered one day. He's just going to break it over his kneecap, and he'll go get a new one. But the current one for this purpose is Nick Cage all day. To wrap this up, I am the cleanup staff in the NBA and NHL bubble. Level of concern, the two champions in Orlando and Edmonton are going to party like it's a Guns N' Roses world tour in the late 80s and leave the place in tatters.
Oh, yeah.
I want to believe these guys are going to party like crazy. Can you imagine if you win the cup and you go back to the hotel, what you're going to look like? I don't think they're going to ruin the place.
I think one of them might, and here's my question. you can compromise the bubble once it's over.
Absolutely. Once it's over, you're a free man. You can do whatever you want.
So whoever wins cup in Edmonton and in Orlando, like, people might storm the castle.
That's a good point, too. Are they welcoming people in? I hadn't thought of that. Okay, Nick Cage, play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
That's a good point. Like, does the statute of limitations end the second the Larry O'Brien and the cup get handed out? And then all of a sudden, it's like, doors are open, freedom. You know, everyone you've been texting with and calling with, let them in.
Game over. It's game over.
I think it's game over because you're like, if you end up compromising yourself, well, you're not compromising everyone else. Everyone's going their own direction.
Yeah, everyone else can leave, but the players are staying, and we're going to have a shaker here because we haven't done anything for 3 months and we just won a title.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're cleaning that mess up afterwards, it could be a problem.
I
could see it being a problem. All right, Jabari Greer coming up, our TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFLer himself, played with Drew Brees. We'll get his take on how Brees and Brady have been looking and what might be cooking this weekend. I think the Saints are at home against the Packers on Sunday night, too. That will not be an easy outing for either team, but certainly not for New Orleans coming off a loss. And we'll tee up week three tonight, including the game with Miami at Jacksonville. Oh, you're on the clock. You'll have a pick. And we'll get into that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, week three of the NFL kicking off tonight. Miami at Jacksonville. The Jags have been pretty good, man. I bet against them two straight weeks, and it has cost me because I thought they were tanking, you know. So typical of a team like that. Not trying to tank, and then they tank. And now they're trying to tank, and they're going to start winning games. But Gardner Minshew's been playing pretty well. And you got Minshew up against Fitzpatrick. And let's be honest, when it comes to week three, you got a couple of great games. Like Packers-Saints Sunday night, that's outstanding. Two great teams, two great quarterbacks.
Too.
But it's all about the Monday nighter, right? Like it just feels like we're waiting to get to Monday night, Kansas City-Baltimore. And to chat about it, we're joined now by our NFL insider and analyst, longtime NFLer Jabari Greer. Does it feel that way to you, Jabari? You just waiting for Monday night or what?
It's going to be awesome, man. It is. I'm glad to be back. I ain't been here in a while, man, so it's good to hear you guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, buddy. It's great to have you on. I mean, you look at a game like tonight, you know, it's Thursday Night Football, so people are going to tune in, but you got a read on this for us, Miami at Jacksonville. How are we supposed to get hyped for this one tonight?
You know what? I think this is one of those games in which we need to see exactly what they're going to have to be able to prepare for the future. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's a quarterback. He's been a journeyman. He's had some success at Miami. But believe me, the Miami faithful are chomping at the bit to see Tua tackle, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we know.
Why isn't he playing, man? Like, why not go with him?
Tagovailoa.
There you go.
You know what? I think what's going on is obviously, you know, Brian Flores is a coach that's trying to establish some consistency on his team. Tua's coming back from a major hip surgery, and I think that what you want, you never want to put a rookie quarterback, no matter how high you draft him, you don't want to put him in a bad situation where he get where his failure kind of compounds. So you have a stable quarterback. You got a team that's on the rise, a defense that's been rebuilt, and I think that what Brian Flores is trying to do is trying to get Tua enough leadership through Ron Fitzpatrick to buy his time to be able to get comfortable in the pocket when it's his time to shine.
Yeah, I think that injury concern, I mean, that goes without saying. He's coming off major hip surgery. But to your point, Jabari, like if you're in Miami, it's been lean. Like it's been lean since Marino left. You have not had a quarterback that you've been excited about. You're just dying to see this guy play.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. And I think that they need something. They were pretty good down the stretch last year, and obviously they play the New England Patriots well every year. But to be able to get some consistency in that team, they have to have a quarterback, and they're really banking on that Tua is the guy that can really get them there.
Where are you at with Brady and Brees? We've discussed them a lot. You know, they're the elder statesmen of the league. One's 41, one's 43. They're both 1-1. I don't think they've looked great. You know, either guy. Are you concerned with both of them, one of them, none of them? Where are you at with Brady and Brees?
I would say that I'm not concerned with Brees at all. I think that the only thing that kind of concerned me with Brees is the way that he performed in the playoffs last year. and the first four games, but throughout the end of the season, you know, he was still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And honestly, if you look at last game, even though they lost, the way that he put a zip on the ball, the way that he placed the football, and when they needed a score in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go, I mean, he drove them down eight plays with no struggle at all. You know, it looked easy. It looked a breeze, right?
Right.
And so what I see, I guess I would be more concerned with Tom Brady, because you get a little ebb and flow with Tom Brady. You know, towards the end of the season last year, you know, like the last five games, man, he was looking more erratic than I've ever seen him. Now, we're talking about the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. You know, this guy, he started out this season, you know, looking a lot like last season, looking like he was throwing erratic balls and the balls weren't on the money like they usually are. But then you see this last game when him and Mike Evans finally get in sync and this guy, you know, blows up, has a great game. You know, obviously the defense gets some turnovers for him, but Tom Brady looked good. So it's like one of those guys that you never want to count out, because as soon as people start turning their back on Tom Brady, I mean, this dude is one of those players that's going to prove you wrong, like, no matter what. So I'm kind of hesitant to jump on that, you know, these guys are too old train, because I have a feeling at the end of the season we're going to be eating on words.
Jabari, what do you make of this sideshow out in L.A. with Tyrod Taylor and the doctor administering some kind of painkiller shot? He gets a punctured lung, and apparently now the reports are coming out on this team doctor that he's a bit of a mess, and this isn't the first instance. Just what do you make of the whole scenario?
Well, I think that this is, this is the new cycle that we're in. You know, people want to know exactly what's going on with their team. And ultimately, they're going to make something. They're going to create. We're in a place, you know, in our culture where we try to create division. And I understand, you know, when you play the game, you know, that Tordos shot is something that it is par for the course. I would say that every player has moments in which they feel like they can't play. They're in pain, you know. But the nature of the game is to be able to understand the difference between being hurt and being injured. And, you know, there is incredible things incredible innovations that science has come up with to allow these guys to get out there with minimal effects on their body. But also, along with that, there are some complications, and we see that with Tyrod Taylor. That doesn't mean that, you know, Tordal is the enemy. I mean, obviously anything in moderation, but with this happening right now, this goes to show you exactly what these guys go through to give you the product on Sunday. So forget all the media sideshow. That's, you know, that is just par for the course. That's just the vision as, you know, we in the media see it. You know, that's just the story. And as they try to seek the story, they're going to say, who was the one to blame? Tyrod's not going to take the blame. The doctor's not going to take the blame. They're going to find somebody to blame. But I think as fans, what we need to see, and as reporters and as journalists, what we need to see is what these guys literally have to go through and how it can go incredibly wrong just to be able to do what they love to do on Sundays, man. It's like you put your body on the line and some things like this happen.
So do you ever, like, throughout your career and your experiences, do you even talk to the doctor about the plan, about what his, you know, options are? Or do you kind of just go in there and say, you know, I'm not feeling it, make me feel it, because I got to play in 2 hours?
Yeah, I think that that discussion goes on early in the season. When you're 3 hours, I mean, y'all know this, you know, Old Dog Noodles, you know this. I mean, when you're lacing up, getting ready for the game, you're not talking about your medical plan for the next week. You know, you're talking about, listen, man, I need to get ready, because your whole game plan is going through your mind. Like, what I need to do on third down, my first and second down preparation needs to go on. And I'm hurting, so I need to take care of this right now so I can make sure that I can still study for my preparation or for my play that's going to happen, like, within the next hour. So the talk about what the long-term plan would be, you know, how I'm going to prepare, how I'm going to prehab before I have to rehab my injury. That happens early. That happens Monday. That happens Tuesday, you know, when you're in the training room. But when you have to get ready for a game and it's an hour before kickoff, you just need to numb the pain.
We're chatting with Jabari Greer. The website is budweiser.ca/budbubble, and Budweiser Canada has created the Budweiser Bubble to celebrate one of the most momentous eras of professional sports with a once-in-a-lifetime viewing experience for four lucky groups of fans. I love this idea. I mean, I've seen it advertised a lot. Obviously, they've got you looped in here. You're involved. Are you planning on going in the bubble? Are you making a pitch? I mean, what's going on here, Jabari?
So I'll be there virtually. You know,
okay.
I'm going to be there virtually.
Okay.
And this is an opportunity because I very rarely give fans the access to ask me any type of questions they want to ask me. I can tell you how many times somebody want to ask me what it's like to face Randy Moss. Like, what is it really like to face Tom Brady? Like, do you ever wear the Super Bowl ring? Listen, you sign up, you submit your entry, your video entry, and you can ask me any question you want to ask me. Listen, but what you have to do, you got to make sure that you create a video. This is what we need to get people to understand for the Budweiser Bubble, because they can't, like, you can't get in where you fit in if you're not putting the video in. You know, you got to create a video introducing you and your buds in the bubble and why you deserve the ultimate sports watching vacation together. Why you and your friends need to be there. Then you have to follow at Budweiser Canada on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Then you have to share the video. Follow and then share the video on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. But if you're like me, I'm sharing on all three. And then you have to tag hashtag BudBubble and at Budweiser Canada. So it's going to be judged. Your video is going to be uniqueness on entertainment level. And you got to understand, not only are they going to put you in the bubble, though. Not only are they going to put you and your friends at the bubble, but they're going to pay y'all. Okay,
right.
I'm bringing my Southern Hot. They're going to pay y'all. Right? They're going to put money in your pocket. $5,000, wow, for the lucky fan and up to three of their buds to split. That's a lot of money, fellas. That is,
yep,
a lot of, and ladies. That is a,
absolutely,
lot of money.
Absolutely.
We're signing up. We're,
I
signing
think the four
up
of us should go in. Why, yeah, can't we all go in here?
Exactly.
I think that's insider trading right there, though.
Yeah,
but, you
might
know,
be. Okay, you're right about that. Budweiser.ca/BudBubble, social media, the whole nine. That is a really, really cool idea. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see who gets in there. And hopefully it'll just be debauchery once they're into the bubble. Sure it will
go.
Be. Great stuff as always, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Jabari Greer. There he is. Throwing you two a shout-out.
Yeah. Oh, Noodles, y'all know this. You know, Old Dog Noodles, you know this. I mean, when you're late.
It's getting into other sports now. This is really starting to hurt the ego.
It's tough.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Like, I understand it. Lucic and Olchuk and Prongs and, you know, all your buddies.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Legitimately, Lucic sent me a note later because somebody gave him a heads up. He was like, I'm so sorry. Like, tell Brian. Remember, I think he sent a message.
It's just natural. Like, I get it. I'm not offended at all. I understand it because it's like, you get it. You guys would know you're talking about something, and you guys would know. You're pro athletes. I mean, I was a semi-pro athlete, basically a pro athlete, so I probably should be included, but that's fine.
Wow, the worst one was when someone said, you know, the Maple Leaf Gardens, like, Jamie, Jeff, you guys would know what that place is like, and then you're like, look, I've never been there.
That was Gino, too. That was Gino.
Gino?
What are you talking about, dude? Like, you're like me. Why are you hyping these guys up? Like, that's what bothers me. Okay, athletes, fine. Give it the Owen Noodles. When we have reporters on, they should be like, Hayes, you know this.
Right.
Right? That's
like
that's what should
school,
be happening.
Like, when you were in school, you took this, or when you, like, you guys should have your own jargon.
Right. I need to get hooked up with that. I don't know who we have on tomorrow, but
see, I would take that personally because we're transitioning into a career. Like, we didn't take any courses for this. And if somebody said, Brian, you would know about asking this type of question, I'd say, why don't you?
You would take that personally.
Take a lot? Yeah, I would.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't take it personally.
I would say, what am I, some kind of dummy? I don't know how to ask that question.
Well, what if it say, you know, going to break, that can be tough. Brian, you know that. Like, you have experience doing that. You have technically done it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Ins and outs. But we were making fun of that Zoom call today. Oh, you were just saying that Al's brother's friend or whatever, like, you know, they're going to school for it.
The next wave.
They're going to school for it. We didn't go to school for broadcasting.
That's right.
Although
I didn't get invited. It's the grappler and yourself that are doing it. So maybe here I am on the outside and I need to check my role.
Well,
stay in my lane.
AK may ask you to be.
Well,
the
I've
next,
done that before. I've been in there. I'm more of a kind of in the building kind of guy. I just don't have the same cachet over Zoom. You know, it's a high energy type of performance when it's in person. But, again, Budweiser.ca/BudBubble. Very cool. Shout out to the Bud Bubble and Budweiser. Go get paid, watch sports, hang out with your buddies.
Do you have to
– Not bad.
Like, it's a weird question, and it may have been answered, but, like, do you need, like, a COVID test and all that to go in?
I have no idea.
Let's not like ruin the whole contest. Yeah. With
Brian,
that.
You would know. Do you need a COVID?
Brian,
that, this is not
like...
something that I would want to know because I don't know.
Well, if they're creating a bubble, you would obviously. I'm hoping that you know it'd be a safe bubble.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe.
Way to zap the sizzle out of the contest.
It's not zapping the sizzle.
You're gonna get $5,000 cash, and you're gonna get all this stuff. And by the way, make sure you have your damn COVID test. You're out.
Your bud bubble is gonna pop if you don't have that COVID
test.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
If you don't have the COVID test, we burn the money right in front of your face.
Yeah.
And you lose
for about 5 minutes, it was real life. We were just talking about fun stuff, and then COVID had to creep back in.
I apologize. I'm the one. Yeah, I poured cold water on.
It's all good. It's all good.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Did we ever need that entrance?
Yes.
Oh, I love this entrance. It is the greatest. Al's brother, Stone Cold Al's brother, who picked a loser on Monday night, we should point out.
Yeah.
Picked a loser on Monday night, right? Was all over the New Orleans Saints. And luckily, I bucked that trend. I went with Vegas and I won some cash. But. The O-Dog is on the clock tonight. It is Jacksonville at home -3 against Miami. Take the floor. Take the mic. Al's brother, it is your time to shine.
All right. I am fully on board Minshew Mania for this one. I think the Jags, they were thought to be tanking this year, but they've been competitive. You know, they beat the Colts. They took the Titans to the wire. Both teams who expect to be in the playoff picture. So take a look at tonight's matchup against the 0-2 Dolphins. Are we going to see Fitzmagic or are we going to see Fitztragic? I don't know. We'll see. But Miami's defense is pretty bad. They were torched for over 500 yards of offense last week. Byron Jones, their best cover corner, he's out tonight. So I expect Minshew to put on a show here in primetime football. And here's a stat for you guys. The Dolphins defense coming into tonight with the second highest blitz rating in the NFL through 2 weeks. Who do you think the number one quarterback against the blitz is this season? Gardner Minshew.
Wow.
That's right. 15 for 20, 167 yards and 3 touchdowns. He thrives under pressure. I'm Team Mustache. I'm Cat Guy tonight, taking the Jags -3.
Wow, Cat Guy. That's a good point, too. It is a cat.
There you go.
So, what are you doing here? I mean, it makes too much sense for
Amen. He just sold me on that.
Meow.
Was it the cat or the analysis? Because it was very quality analysis.
Yeah, I love the blitz commentary, the effectiveness against the blitz, number one on the NFL. Therefore, I'm on Al's brother's pick.
Okay, you're on the Jags tonight. I think he just gave a prediction on his stat line, too. I think he just said 15 for 20, 167 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I thought I heard that. Or maybe that was just about the blitz.
Like, yeah, that's his stat line against the blitz this season.
There you go. That's very impressive, Al's brother. Stone Cold Al's brother coming out with the heat. Very compelling case. He is on Jacksonville, and the O-Cat is on Jacksonville. All right, we'll come back and tee that up. Tee up the Jays game tonight. Tee up game 4, Lakers and Nuggets as well in the Western Final. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the prop bets tonight in the football game, I am over the number Gardner Minshew pass completions. I think Gardner continues to roll, man. He looks good. Under the number fumbles lost, over the number longest punt return, under the number second half points. Throw down 20, you can score 142. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So we got a football game, a basketball game tonight. We got the Jays looking to clinch. Nate Pearson might make his return tonight. Alejandro Kirk is DHing tonight. Love it. Al's brother Kirk is back out there and
he's a major leaguer, man. He looks like a major league player. I'm glad they're not just saying go away. They're keeping him around.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this before, Brian. I don't think you agree. I think he came from single A, man.
Yeah, he did. You're right about that. Yes, he did. He was like high single A ball last year.
Yeah.
And then with the shutdown, he never had a chance to move up, right? Like he would have started in double A likely this year. Then maybe he was in triple A by midseason.
It's an incredible story.
Yeah, it really is. And maybe he's motivated Danny Jansen a little bit too, because Jansen, you know, really broke out last night. And
what
he's behind the plate tonight.
What is he all of a sudden going to do and start mashing at the plate? Like, I don't know if that's in him.
It may not be. But when he first came up as a rookie, like he had a hot September when he first came up, and the expectations were pretty high that Jansen could give you something at the plate, and it just has not happened yet. But listen, if you get the best of both worlds, or at the very least you get Jansen hopefully being defensively sound, and he's catching, of course, for Ryu tonight. Right. And then beyond that, you know, throw Kirk behind there if he's going to continue with a hot bat.
And Ryu is 6 and walking out the door?
More than likely tonight. You know, I would think that's generally the way it works. I mean, if history were to warn us of anything, it would probably be that Ryu goes 6 and then check, please, I'm out. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. But Jays, Yankees tonight. Let's hope that they win, but it's like a one-run game, so it's still compelling. I mean, it's kind of difficult.
No,
it's difficult to complain about a blowout win when you haven't, when the Jays have not been a competitive team for years.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You know, at least they're winning big, but it's like 14-1 or 12-1 Yankees, you know, 12-3 Jays, 17-2. It's crazy what's going on right now.
It really is.
So they got a chance to clinch tonight, and by tomorrow, I guess we're looking ahead to the weekend. We'll have a double shot of hockey. And you know, there was that trade that finally went down today between Pittsburgh and Florida, Matheson
Sevier
for Hornquist, and Sevier's in there too. Yeah,
Sevier
from Florida.
In there. He's a nice player. Like Jimmy Rutherford, man, he is not shy. Like he doesn't like what he sees. That's it. I'm moving and shaking. I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I love having him on as a guest. Obviously, you know him quite well because he was your manager for how many years. But I respect that a lot. Like, he's not shy. And it's not like admitting a mistake. It's just like, this didn't work. I'm moving on. I'm going on here.
Yeah, he can't win every year, and they didn't win, so
exactly.
He's going to do something. And you're right about his honesty and his candor on the show. And I saw that on the trade bait board, Frank Saravelli had Matt Murray as the number one guy. And I think we should get credit for that.
I think,
you know, because he literally said he's trading Matt Murray. Like, I don't even know if he
should say that. He's like, you know, he's
got to trade a goalie.
I got to get rid of a goalie. And then he's like, I don't really like this guy in that position. And then he basically left Matt Murray sitting there. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't literal, but it was pretty
close. It was as close to basically saying, I'm trading Matt Murray.
Yes.
Like, that's it. Like, it was as close to saying that.
As close as being, you know, as blunt as possible. So I guess that is the expectation. And maybe we haven't talked enough about him. You know, we keep talking about Leonard and maybe Fleury being available and what's going to happen with Markstrom and Holpe. If Matt Murray's out there, and he is blatantly available right now, I don't think it'll take long for him to find a suitor.
I don't think so either. Just the idea of winning, regardless of warts in his game, just the size and the two cups, people just take a lot of value in that, and they should.
Would you pay a first-rounder plus for him?
No,
that's
I wouldn't.
That's the going rate right now. I keep hearing in the marketplace for any goalie, whether it's Kemper or Murray, is a first-rounder. So
yeah, that's rich. I mean, Kemper, with 2 years left, Kemper, I might think about it. I might.
How do you say no to that? The Goudreau and Coleman.
Yeah.
They went for first-round picks. Like, people would say, are you high? I'm not paying you
Kapanen
that for that.
Went for a first-round pick.
So how do you not say you wouldn't pay that for
right.
a guy that's potential starting
I guess it comes down to options. You know, if I feel like I don't have to give it up and get the equivalent production for free just with money, I'd rather do that.
At least Kemper's shown, I think Kemper's been the better goaltender, period.
Yep.
Murray's got the cups, but he's a platoon goalie. So if you're acquiring Matt Murray, you're not acquiring him as a one. You're requiring him to play in a tandem, where Kemper plays in a tandem, but he plays on the high end of the tandem. Like, he can play 55 games.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and Kemper, like, there's so many names out there. So many names. All right, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the games tonight. There's a lot of them, and there's going to be a lot to get into tomorrow. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at?
Timmy, Fart in the Wind.
4 p.m. We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.